Thank you very much. Sure is great to be here again. Always an honor and a privilege. Honor and privilege to be behind any pulpit. Of course, do anything for the Lord. Always a privilege and honor to be here. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to share with you tonight. Appreciate all that came out. Read my text tonight from Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. And I already apologized to everybody I knew was there. They went to the tent meeting. I'm going to preach on the same thing. So, Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 and 17. And try not to drag anything out here, but I do want to take my time. That's all right. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16 and 17 says, "When the even was come, they brought on him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses." Let's pray. Father, thank you once again for another privilege and opportunity to worship you and be in your house, to glorify and magnify and exalt you, asking you to take the things of thine, reveal them unto us, give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we all with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, you would change us into your same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, asking you tonight for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, that I'd speak as the oracles of God, ministers of the ability that you give, that you would be glorified, that your word would have free course. And Lord, strengthen us, stir us, challenge us, equip us and endue us, edify us to be more useful and fruitful for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to talk tonight on the subject of bodily healing in the work of redemption, or bodily healing in the atonement. And mentioned before, I've been traveling 10 years. I've heard several messages on hell, but I've never heard a doctrinal message. I'm not saying nobody preached it, but I personally have never heard a doctrinal message on the subject of divine healing. And you know, everywhere you go, everybody is requesting prayer. Everybody's in need of prayer. And you look at the amount of time dedicated in the Gospels and the book of Acts to the ministry of healing the sick and casting out devils, you wonder why people don't preach on it more. Now, you know, you don't get Olympic athletes eating off a middle school diet. You know, nobody wakes up one day and decides to go on a 40-day fast. I mean, you have to begin to cultivate it. You have to begin to develop it. You have to study the subject. You have to give yourself to it. Though any Bible subject, the more we study it, the more understanding we get, the more revelation we get, the more insight we get, the more real it becomes to us, the more we apply it, and the more effective, the more fruitful we become. And sometimes I wonder, you know, maybe we can't preach on divine healing because there might be somebody sick. that's kind of silly. But people say, well, you know, we need to be like Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus talked about himself, described his own ministry, Luke 13:32. He says, "Go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected." That's how Jesus described his own ministry. Matthew chapter 11, verse 3, John the Baptist was in prison wondering if Jesus was a Messiah. He said, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" John said, "Go and ye and shew John again those things that ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. That's how Jesus described his own ministry. Jesus said about himself in Luke 4:18, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Jesus himself said he came to set the captives free from Satan's dominion, Satan's power, Satan's tyranny. He came to loose the captives from their bondage. He came to relieve the afflicted. And Luke 13:17, Jesus said, "Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" This woman was bowed over with a physical deformity. But Jesus, you know, Americans would look and say, maybe she was an accident. Maybe she was malnourished. But Jesus said it was caused by a spirit of infirmity. You know, many times in the Bible, sickness and disease, physical affliction is caused by evil spirits. Jesus said in Luke 10:38, oh, and Jesus said that she was bound by Satan, and Jesus loosed her from her bondage. He called it bondage, not a blessing. Acts 10:38 said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Bible says Jesus went about doing good. And the good that it says he did was that he healed, physical healing, all that were oppressed of the devil. Jesus called sickness and disease bondage and oppression. He said it came from the devil. And they said he went about doing good. And the good that he did was he healed those that were oppressed of the devil. Luke chapter 6, verse 9, Jesus was in the synagogue, and there was a man with a withered hand. The Pharisees are watching to see if he'd heal him on the Sabbath or no. And Jesus said in Luke 6, 9, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?" Jesus called healing the man's hand doing good. He said withholding, refusing to heal the man's hand when it was in his ability and his authority and power to do so, he called it evil. Now, the Bible says he healed all that were oppressed of the devil. Now, does that mean that all sickness and disease and affliction, directly or indirectly, is rooted from Satan? I've heard people say that. Well, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. His fame went throughout all Syria. They brought him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, those which were possessed with devils, those which were lunatic, those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 said, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Now, if he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, and he healed all manner of sickness and all manner of disease, he healed every sickness and every disease, then that means that all of it, either directly or indirectly, was rooted in Satan. Through the Gospels, every time, you know, Jesus said in John 6:38, he said, For I came not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. You want to know what the will of God is? You know what the Father's like? Look at Jesus. Jesus was the will of the Father in action. And Jesus always dealt with sickness and disease the same way he dealt with sin, the same way he dealt with demonic activity. He rebuked sin. He rebuked sickness. He rebuked disease. He rebuked infirmity. First Peter 2:24 said this, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." Now, everybody believes in divine healing until, you know, we face a circumstance and we face a situation. Then we find out what's really in our heart and what's really in our head. Yeah. Well, you know, when you're needing healing, when you're in need of healing and it's 2 o'clock in the morning, there's pain in your body, there's symptoms that you see, and nobody to call. It's just you, God, the devil, and the Bible. Devil always try to trick you and deceive you into thinking that this is not for you. And 1 Peter 2:24, well, that just means spiritual healing. But the thing is, that word there, healed, is used 28 times in the New Testament. Every single time it's used without exception, it always is referring to physical healing. The text I read, Matthew 8:16-17, when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. When Jesus was on the earth, healing the sick and casting out devils, he himself said that he was doing that in fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 53, the chapter on the atonement, where on the cross he bore our sins. The same language used to describe how he bore our sins and our infirmities is used to show that he bore our sicknesses, he bore our diseases, he bore our physical afflictions. The same language that's used to show that healing and forgiveness flowed from the cross is used to show that healing and deliverance flowed from the cross. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 and 5, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes ye were healed. The early assembly of God, Church of God in Christ, Pentecostal holiness, every Pentecostal organization always had in their statement of faith, we believe that bodily healing is provided in the atonement and available for all through faith. If you read the Bible, you never read it before, the only conclusion you could come to was that healing was included in the atonement and that Jesus always healed everybody that came to him in faith and touched him in faith. Luke chapter 7, verse 50, Jesus forgave a woman of her sins, and he said, thy faith hath saved thee. Luke chapter 8, verse 48, Jesus healed a woman with an issue of blood. He said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Luke 17:19, Jesus cleansed a leper. He said, thy faith hath made thee whole. All right. Well, when he's forgiven sins, it's saved, right? And when he's healing their body, he's saying he made them whole. But in Luke chapter 18, verse 42, Jesus heals a blind man, and he says, thy faith hath saved thee. So he uses the terms interchangeably. And in the Greek, in the original, is the exact same phrase. Because it's all a part of what Jesus did on the cross. It's all a part of salvation and what Jesus made available for us. To the biblical Hebrew mind, a God that promises to forgive your sin but doesn't promise to heal your body is an unheard of thing. You know, listen, the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Psalm 107 verse 20 said he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. You know, sometimes we think, are we supposed to get people's hope up, supposed to get people's faith up? And, you know, what if somehow or other they don't get healed? Well, listen, the only way they're ever going to get healed is to get their hope up, get their expectation up, to get their faith up. We get people hope up to expect the Lord to come anytime. We don't worry about if he doesn't come right now that people are going to throw in the towel and give up and quit and be disappointed on God. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 said this. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. Behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. This man didn't doubt God's ability. I mean, nobody really doubts God's ability. God can do whatever he wants. But he doubted what his willingness was. What was his will? Jesus showed him his will. He said, Be thou clean. I will. You want to know the will of God? You know what Jesus, you know what the Father's like? Watch Jesus in action. John 6:38. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Matthew 8:5. When Jesus was entered to Capernaum, there came unto a centurion beseeching him, saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, previously tormented. Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. James 5, y'all with me? James 5:14 said this, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. So the Bible states it's the prayer of faith that saves the sick. You know, Satan, we can believe that God is able and believe that God is willing and really still not have heart faith. That can just be mental assent. It can just be hope. Well, James 1:6 says this. So I'm not twisting anything. I'm not making the Bible say something that it doesn't really say or doesn't really mean. The same book. James 1:6 says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his way. So if the Bible said it's the prayer of faith that saves the sick, and he said, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Well, you know, if we're 85% sure of what the will of God is, that it's God's will, but we're 15% unsure, then are we wavering? And I tell you what, you know, when you're in pain, facing symptoms, getting bad reports, what other people tell you, even if you are assured that healing was providing the atonement and this covers your case, you're still going to have a fight of faith on your hands. So we better be absolutely sure. It's the prayer of faith that saves the sick. If you're 15% unsure, then you're wavering, and it's impossible to ask in faith. Romans 4:19 said this about Abraham's faith. Abraham's the father of faith. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Here we see a contrast between weak faith and strong faith. The only way to have strong faith is to be fully persuaded. Weak faith doesn't consider the promise of God. Weak faith doesn't consider the word of God. Weak faith doesn't consider what Jesus did on the cross. Weak faith considers the symptoms, the situation, or what the devil's saying, what the doctor's report said. Strong faith doesn't consider the symptoms, the circumstance, what the devil said. The strong faith considers the word of God, the promise of God. Strong faith considers what Jesus did. And I'm not, you know, trying to make this like it's some easy thing. Mark 3:14 said this about Jesus. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. Mark 6:12 said about the disciples, they went out and preached that men should repent, and they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. They preached repentance, they healed the sick, they cast out devils. As I quoted earlier, Jesus went teaching, preaching, healing, in that order. It's impossible to preach the gospel. It's from a biblical stand. It's impossible to preach the kingdom of God without including healing, physical healing, and deliverance. Luke 9:1 said this, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Luke 6:9 said Jesus went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Luke 9:11 said that Jesus spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. Luke 10:9 said that Jesus said when he go into town, he said, heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Matthew 10:7-8, Jesus said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely have received, freely give. Matthew 12:28, Jesus said, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. What was a sign that the kingdom of God had come nigh? The sign was that the sick were healed, the demonically oppressed were delivered. Jesus told us to pray, you know, with in mind. You can't pray this without including bodily healing and demonic deliverance. Jesus said to pray in Matthew 6:10. He said to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. It's God's will that it be in earth as it is in heaven. I mean, you know, we know that, I mean, you know, there is a distinct, I mean, you can go to heaven with a sick body. You can't go to heaven with sin in your life. So in that sense, you know, there's a distinction. But when we're praying thy kingdom come, we're praying that everything that is not according to the will of God, not in line, not in submission to the Lord Jesus Christ, is brought in line to submission with the Lord Jesus Christ. All power of sin is broken. All sinners are reconciled. All sick, broken bodies are healed. All demonically oppressed are delivered and set free. Now, you know, sometimes you think, well, you know, I don't really have a sickness. I don't really have a disease. I have an affliction, so that probably doesn't cover me. But one thing you sum it all up, and Jesus used it all the times, is to make you whole, spirit, soul, and body. Matthew 11:12 says, man, I don't have my head stuck in the sand. Man, I know the devil's out here wreaking havoc. Man, I'm not talking about anything being automatic. This is a fight of faith. Matthew 11:12 said, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. God's kingdom is advanced by force. There's got to be aggression there. There's got to be not take no for an answer. There's got to be no quit there. 1 Corinthians 4:20 said, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. It takes God's power to advance God's kingdom against Satan's power, to destroy Satan's power, to set captives free from Satan's power, to destroy Satan's strongholds and advance God's kingdom. Y'all with me? Luke 5:15 said this, so much the more went there a fame abroad of him. Great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. The Bible said they came to hear and to be healed. You know, there's a reason why over and over in the Gospels, same healing recorded, same healing recorded. It's more than just, well, I know God can heal. I mean, there's a lot more to it than that. It's lesson after lesson, lesson after lesson, lesson after lesson. They came to hear and to be healed. Verse 16, he withdrew himself in the wilderness and prayed. Verse 17, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, it came to pass as he was teaching in a certain place, there came unto him Pharisees and doctors of law sitting by, which are come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. When Jesus was teaching, when Jesus was showing his will, showing his heart, showing his desire, showing his character, the Bible said the power of the Lord was present to heal them. You know, Jesus did heal people because he was a Messiah, but it was a whole lot more than just a theological sign. He healed people because he had compassion on them, because he loved them, because he hated the works of the devil. He came to set the captives free. Luke 6:17 said, they came to hear and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of them and healed them all. Matthew 9:1. He entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. Behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go to thine house. He arose and departed to his house. When the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. There's a lot in there. I mean, this man, first of all, he couldn't get to the house of God by himself. He needed other people to come along and carry him. He needed help. People get so beat down and oppressed, they need other people to pray for him. And they tried to get in the front door, but there wasn't no room in the front door. We know most of the time now, it's just whatever the Lord wants. It's all in God's hands. We just, must not be the timing of the Lord. Hey, they didn't take no for an answer. They couldn't get in the front door. They made a hole in the roof. And the Bible said, Jesus, seeing their faith. Bible faith doesn't take no for an answer. Bible faith stands on the word. Bible faith continues to believe God. Bible faith doesn't let go of God. Syrophoenician woman. I mean, she came to Jesus, pressed through the crowd. Bible said, Jesus answered not a word. And said, send her away. I mean, this must not be the will of God. I mean, I don't want to force God to do something he don't want to do. And, we spiritualize. We don't want to presume on the Lord. Well, Bible says, Jesus said, I'm not sent but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said, it's not meet to take a children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Most of us had quit a long time ago. Gave up, said, God just didn't end this. I'm presuming on the will of God. She said, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs of the master's table. In Matthew 15:28, Jesus said, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. He called her desperation. He called her determination. Great faith. Another thing, Jesus showed that, anybody, who's this guy think he is? He can forgive sins. Say your sins be forgiven thee. That's intangible. One reason why it's harder for us to believe God about divine healing is because we're dealing with sense knowledge, sense evidence, pain in our body, what we can see. So, who does he think he is? He said, all right. He said, that you know that I'm the Messiah, that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Arise, take up your bed and walk. So he showed that he was just as concerned with the man's physical body as he was with the man's soul. He showed just as much that was a part of his salvation as it was to forgive his sin. Y'all still with me? Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Verse 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs followed. Preaching the gospel included healing the sick, casting out devils, and a Bible said that God confirmed the preaching of his word with signs followed. God confirms what we preach. You want people to pray? Preach on prayer. Want people to understand the severity of hell? Preach on hell. Want people to understand the holiness of God? Preach on the holiness of God. Acts chapter 4, verse 29. Persecution and opposition came against the church. May, lay around, not pray, get ready for the service. We'll see what God wants to do. We don't know. We don't ever know what God wants. And that's not totally. We don't know exactly how God's going to move. But here's what it says in Acts 4:29. They said, now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto your servants that with all boldness we may speak thy word by stretching forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. When they had prayed, the place was shaken, or they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. They prayed, they asked God deliberately for God to confirm his word with signs, to glorify his son by stretching forth his hand to heal. Hebrews 2:4 says, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Verse 33 of Acts says this, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection, Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Saints, that lets me know right there. When you have little grace, some grace, great grace. Little power, some power, great power. depends upon our burden, depends upon our desire, depends upon our asking, depends upon our hunger, depends upon our thirst, depends upon how desperate we are to see God move. John 14:12, Jesus said this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." That's pretty definite. Many of we didn't have the promise of it being in the atonement. We still had that. Healing the sick, casting out devils, Jesus always glorified and magnified. John 11:4, Jesus said this, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." The lame man at the gate, Acts 3:13, he said, "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus." Y'all with me? You know, I tell you what, late at night, wrestling, fiery darts, trading, Satan try to tell you there's no hope, but bad reports, not much encouragement. I mean, you know, the only encouragement you're going to get is from the Word of God. Bible said this, Hebrews 13:8, "Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever." Malachi 3:6 said, "I am the Lord, I change not." Numbers 23:19 said, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent." Romans 3:4 said, "Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar." Matthew 24:35 said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." In Exodus 15:26, he said, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." Can we trust God? Can we, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ is more accurate, more dependable, more reliable, more concerned, and more caring than any earthly doctor. Word healeth thee means restore. Matthew, y'all still with me here? Matthew 16:18. Jesus told Peter, he said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Jesus is talking about building his church. He's talking about the gates of hell not prevailing against his church. So, and what does he talk about? He talks about giving Peter the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And what was the keys of the kingdom of heaven that he gave him? The authority to bind the devil and to loose the power of God. Most of the time we want to put all responsibility on God. You know, God gave us authority. God gave us the Luke 10:19, Jesus said, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, nothing shall by any means hurt you." We want God to do what he told us to do. Matthew 18:18 said the same thing. He said, "Whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. For, and again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." Jesus talking about, here he's talking about the subject of prayer. Now we know prayer is communicating with God, talking directly with God. But there is prayer in the Bible that Jesus talks about commanding and speaking to mountains, commanding and speaking to the devil, commanding and speaking to demonic power and sickness and disease, whatever's of the devil. Why did Jesus say in Mark 11:22? Jesus said this, he said, "Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, ye shall have them." So he's talking about the subject of prayer. He's talking about faith in God. What does faith in God do here? And for this kind of prayer, he talks about speaking to the mountain, commanding the mountain to move, and he said the mountain would move. The mountain's not just a literal mountain. It's a mountain in your life, something that's humanly, naturally impossible to do anything about. He's talking about demonic power. He's talking about sickness and disease. He's talking about the devil. And he says, command the devil to move, and he will move. Luke chapter 17, verse 5. The apostle said, in the Lord, increase our faith. How do you increase your faith? How do you develop your faith? Apostle said, in the Lord, increase our faith. The Lord said, if you had faith as grain of mustard seed, you shall say in this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. So he talks about speaking the mountain. He talks about speaking the sycamine tree. A lot of times Satan gets in and gets a stronghold. He's got to be rooted out. His power's got to be broken. Matthew chapter 17, verse 19. Jesus said, why cannot we cast him out? Because your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say in this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Who did Jesus tell to speak to the mountain to? He said, us. Y'all still with me? Acts chapter 3, verse 6 says this. Peter, lame man at the gate. I'm going to talk some examples of that. Acts chapter 3, verse 6. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. He commanded the man to get up and walk. He didn't beg God to do it. He didn't ask God to do it. You know, we never ask God to do what he told us to do. Acts chapter 9, verse 33 said this. There he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ, make thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. All that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. Acts chapter 14, verse 7 said, there they preached the gospel. Now, what kind of gospel were they preaching? Was he preaching just repent of your sins? Was he preaching just God will forgive you of your sin? Was he preaching only about salvation of the soul? Acts 14:7 said this. There they preached the gospel. There sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, and never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. What was Paul preaching? You know, it wasn't Paul's faith. Paul perceived that the man had faith to be healed. What was he preaching? For him to know that it was God's will to heal him, for him to have faith. He must have been preaching that it was God's will to heal his body, just like it was God's will to save him from his sin. You know, Matthew 9:22, Jesus said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Matthew 9:29 said, according to your faith be it unto you. Matthew 15:28 said, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. Mark 6:5 said about Jesus, he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. Their unbelief limited what Jesus could do. Jesus put the responsibility on us. Jesus put the responsibility on man. Acts 19:12. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought the sick handkerchiefs and aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. All right, y'all still with me? Sorry, I'm trying to wrap up here, but don't get too hopes up. Bible says this. Luke 14:36, about Jesus, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. You know, faith is a fight. Everybody that was able to press through opposition, press through the flesh, press through discouragement, press through unbelief, press through demonic resistance, and touch Jesus in faith was made perfectly whole. Whenever we see what God promised, whenever we see what God made available to us, and we decide to go after it, there's always going to be opposition. There's always going to be resistance. I mean, you might ever feel more discouraged. You might ever feel less liberty in prayer. You might not ever feel more heaviness. You know why? Because you're making progress. And Satan is trying to discourage you. Satan's trying to resist. He's trying to stop you. He's trying to give up and quit. Mark 9:23, Jesus said this. He said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. If father said, and my demon-possessed boy says, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. He said, I know what the Bible said. I believe God's willing. I believe God's able. He says, but I don't have living faith. How do you get faith from your head to your heart? Jesus gave him the answer. Verse, how to get rid of unbelief. You know, we talk a lot about faith. It takes this kind to get rid of the devil. But I think also it's talking about it takes this kind to get rid of unbelief. Whenever we decide to go after, we said to believe God, Satan comes against it. Well, what about this person? What about what happened over here? So-and-so believed that way. And, you know, what about this verse over here that it might mean this? Well, what about what the doctor said? Here's the answer. What's the remedy for unbelief? What's the remedy for weak faith? Mark 9:29 said, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Fasting to crucify the flesh. Fasting to get the flesh out of the way. I'm not talking about sin, but you know, sometimes our flesh is so activated, it's hard for us to press in and touch God in faith the way we need to because the flesh is in the way. And prayer to touch God. Matthew 6:17, Jesus said this, thou when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face. Thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. Jesus is talking about how to lay up treasure in heaven. He's talking about how to get our eyes single to the glory of God. You know, as Americans, I mean, it's so easy to overfeed the flesh. We don't realize how much our life centers around food. We don't realize how much pleasure that should be put getting pleasure out of the Lord is pleasure from feeding the flesh and feasting until we decide to deny the flesh and go on a fast. All of a sudden then, life is just blah. Life is no fun anymore. Everything is. What's happening is, you know, now we can no longer get pleasure out of fleshly things, out of natural things. The flesh is being crucified, and all that passion, all that desire, all that appetite, all that hunger and thirst that's supposed to be channeled toward God, that is being drained on feeding the flesh, now we're able to channel that all towards God, giving us a greater spiritual focus, a greater spiritual intensity, a greater spiritual hunger and thirst and desire and passion. And he's telling us, that's telling us how to get our eyes single to the glory of God. And he's telling us how to lay up treasures in heaven. And most of the time people never put into God, they want to get out of God what they never put into God. There's no laying up treasure in heaven. No fasting unto God, praying unto God, giving unto God, do everything we do to the glory of God. And then all of a sudden, emergency hits, crisis hits, call on heaven. Hey, if I don't ever put anything in the bank, if I go to the bank and say, hey, I got this problem, you know, I need this much money, I'd be like, well, who are you? We haven't heard from you in 20 years. We can't give you that. Oh, you're not good for that. I'm not saying, you know, God doesn't have mercy and do things we don't in a mirror, but you know, as a pattern, when you lay up treasure in heaven, you call on heaven, heaven comes down, heaven answers. All right, y'all, it's about 9:05. I'll be through at 9:15. All right, so you know where I'm stopping. Luke chapter 8, verse 1 said this. Jesus said, and he spake a parable unto them this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. He told us that for a reason. Because we see what God promised, we see what's available, and we decide to believe God and start going after it. And time goes by, doesn't look like anything. There's a temptation to quit, to faint, to throw in the towel. You know what faith is? Hebrews 11:6, Jesus said this. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know what Bible faith is? Bible faith is believing that God is who he said he is. That God always does what he said he'll do when his people meet the conditions, that he always rewards those that diligently seek him. Hey, I fasted. Nothing happened. Really, a lot was happening. But we just fainted too quick, gave up too quick. I prayed all night long, nothing happened. Pray all night again, a lot was happening. Satan gets a stronghold in there. Spirit of God starts working on it. Most of the time we get in these situations, first thing we find out, this is more principle to us. It's more in our head than it is in our heart. So God starts exposing that. We start to get faith in our heart. You know, you can't get physically strong laying around eating Jell-O pudding all the day. There's got to be some opposition. There's got to be some resistance there. You know, faith proves, when we diligently seek God, that proves that we have faith in God. But saints, as we diligently seek God, it builds faith. Pressing through opposition, pressing through the flesh, pressing through discouragement, pressing through heaviness, pressing through opposition. Jude 20 said, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Like the Syrophoenician woman, like the lame man. Jesus said in Luke 18:7-8, he said, shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge him speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Jesus said, Bible faith that Jesus looks for when he comes back is a faith that prays and does not faint. Faith that prays and does not quit, does not throw in the towel, does not give up. It prays mightily to God day and night, continues to believe God, continues to stand, continues to lay hold on God until the answer comes, until the blessing comes, until the breakthrough comes. Persistence overcomes resistance. I don't think we emphasize enough. First Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession for many witnesses. I mean, if it's all up to God, you know, if it's all in God's hands, you know, why is the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence? Why fast and pray? Why stand? Why believe God? Why cry mightily to God day and night? If it's all, if it doesn't matter. Well, you know, God's going to do whatever he wants anyway, so lose all your incentive. Persistence overcomes resistance. Y'all, I'm on my last little page here. All right, I got some amens. Otherwise, I think y'all want me to stay up here another hour. Just kidding. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 said this, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. God's promises are yea and amen. God's not withholding it from us. Well, you know, it's almost like this. Jesus Christ has already provided redemption. We need to appropriate it. You know, most time I believe we don't know the difference between praying in faith and praying in hope. Praying in hope is always God trying to get God to do something sometime in the future. Whereas God has already provided, God has already made it available, it's up to us to appropriate it by faith. Go lay hold on it. Go seize it. Go break the power. Stand against the devil. Build your faith. Believe God. Hebrews 6:12 said this, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Hebrews 6:15. So after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Hebrews 10:35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Luke 12:32. Jesus said, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But the Bible said the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. God wants to give you the kingdom. God wants to give you, but it takes violence. It takes power. Satan's power has to be broken. He doesn't just, move out of the way. I want you to leave. No, he has to be forcefully removed with the weapons of our warfare. His power has to be broken. Sometimes we can pray and pray and pray. Believe God, believe God, believe God. But if Satan's power is never dealt with, if Satan's power is never broken, nothing will happen. Jesus rebukes sin, sickness, disease, and demons all the same way. James 5:16 said this, The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Prayer prayed with the right heart, with the right spirit, in faith, always work. Something always happening. Maybe sometimes we don't get it to happen soon enough. We didn't start soon enough. Matthew 21:22, Jesus said this. He said, "In all things, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believe and ye shall receive." 1 John 3:20 said this. "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." You know, the first step to having confidence that God is hearing our prayers and answering our, I mean, we believe God hears our prayer when we pray. We believe he heard our prayer. First step to having confidence that God's hearing our prayer is that there's no condemnation in our heart. Nothing between us and God. Every time we go to pray, what about this? You need to straighten up that. You didn't take care of this. We need to repent of that and make that right. Get out of the way. Second thing is this. 1 John 5:14, Jesus said, the Bible said that, 1 John 5:14. "And this is a confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." The second part, having confidence that God's hearing our prayers and answering our prayers, is that we're praying according to the will of God. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Exodus 32:24 said this, "And Jacob was left alone." You know, most time we're going to be left alone. You know, most people just don't want to battle the powers of darkness, the opposition. I mean, it's discouraging. It's lonely. It's heavy. Shut yourself in a room. So they give up and quit. I'll try it again tomorrow. Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And he told Jacob, he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." Jacob said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." God saw his determination. God saw his desperation. God saw his faith. He saw his dogged determination not to let go of God and stand and believe God. He said, verse 20, it says, "A prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevail." And I'm closing with this. Luke, y'all believe me? Luke chapter 11, verse 1 said this, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.' They saw Jesus praying, and they saw the fruit of his prayer life. They saw his walk with God. They said, 'Lord, teach us to pray.'" And the first example Jesus gave them, and I believe we do this the least in America, because we don't want to presume on the will of God. We don't want to make, you know, we don't want to pray so, trying to get God to do something he's not willing to do. So, you know, we just accept everything that happens, or too much that happens. Jesus said this, Luke 11:8, he says, And I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he's his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth." Jesus said, you know, Jesus said, "You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." His friends love God. His friends live right. His friends live holy. Hey, in other words, he said, "I'm not obligated to answer you just because you live right." Of course, you have to live right for him to answer you. But because of your importunity, because you refuse to take no for an answer, you continue to stand, you continue to believe God, you continue to hold on to God unashamedly and boldly. And Luke 11:9 said this, "And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, to him that knocketh it shall be open." Saints, thank you very much for listening to me tonight. I'll turn the service over to the brother here.